We've set ourselves the mission of getting as many as the reigning best and fairest as possible through this pre-season, and we have the man who went back-to-back in the Sid Barker medal from North Melbourne, Sean Higgins. Sean, welcome to SEN.
G'day, Jared. How are you going?
Very well. What did it mean to you to go back-to-back, to string two seasons of excellence together?
Yeah, last year was a really pleasing year. I think the first best and fairest win was, it really did, I wouldn't say jump out of nowhere, but I made a transition from the forward line into the midfield with a really young group, and probably out of necessity for someone to go in and fulfil a role that was left by Nick Del Santo and Daniel Wells moving on and Brent Harvey retiring. And I was still learning a couple of years ago, and was really excited about that new opportunity. And it was fantastic to be able to win the first best and fairest, but then to be able to back it up last year and really prepare to try and be one of the better midfielders in the competition, that was really rewarding. And a lot of work's gone into this, not just the last 4 to 5 years at North Melbourne, but also over 14 years of playing footy.
There's a lot of people, and I'll put myself in that class, who thought this is always the footy that you promised that you would be capable of. Is it satisfying to, I'm sure you had the view that you could be this player. Is it satisfying to lay that out, not only within your club, but as the competition level?
Yeah, no doubt, because there's so many challenges as well that we face as footballers and people in everyday life. And sometimes you hit speed bumps early on in your career, and sometimes in the latter part of your career. And you know, on reflection, really fortunate to go through what I did early and learn and understand what it takes to play consistent footy at this level. And I was probably the hardest critic on myself early days as well, and had really high expectations. And to be able to get somewhere towards that now and be the player that turns up consistently and the team can rely on and be a leader of the football club was something that I've been striving for, and like I said, done a lot of work towards. So it's been a great transition to this footy club, and I owe them a lot because they've been able to reward me with the last few years.
So how do you use that now heading to a new season? Does it fuel you? Do you now know how to harness that and how to repeat it?
Yeah, I do. But then also the exciting thing that we're transitioning to at the moment as a football club is to add some really exciting young guys around me in the midfield, and probably allow Ben Cunnington, myself, we saw Jack Zeeble go forward last year, but my role will slightly change this year, sort of in and out of the middle, potentially on a wing and up forward, and I'm excited about that because I'm seeing the work that these young guys are putting in at the football club, and hopefully I can teach them and fast-track their midfield time, because that's what we're going to need as a football club, and that's what's going to take us to the next step, and something they've probably been missing over the last 2 to 3 years with the retirees that I mentioned. So that's exciting. That's probably my role at the moment. Combine that with still making sure that I play really good footy.
When does the change happen in a man's career where it moves from the individual to the collective, which is clearly something that you're articulating there?
Well, hopefully that happens as quickly as possible. I still think one of the most important things from any player is to make sure that their individual performance is up to scratch and that you perform at a really high level, and you need to make sure that that aligns with what the team needs and the values and the trademarks and the game plan that the coach sets and the leaders set. But then, yeah, no doubt the focus needs to turn on, well, how can I help my teammates around me? And look, to be honest, Jerry, it's a battle that all young guys have because they want to cement their spot in the team. Early on, they just want to play a game. So they've probably got every right to be a little bit self-centered about how do they do that. But we've got to try and make an environment as quickly as possible when guys come in the senior side that they want to do what the team needs over and above what's best for them as the individual. And with a really young group, I think we've showed that we've done that pretty well over the last couple of years, and we've worked extremely hard this pre-season at that. And these young guys are coming in and knowing their role and playing really good football. We saw glimpses of that last year, and excited about this year because we've got so many guys looking to jump in and do their bit for the team.
So you've got a four-man leadership group that you've had for a couple of years, and you're part of that. So how much time do you spend on that front to integrate those players and get the best out of them as quickly as possible?
Yeah, well, it really is the driving force of the leadership group, and majority of our time is spent on that. Almost daily there's conversations around that. We meet a couple of times a week. And like I said, it's slightly different the last couple of years with the transitioning list. We really need to fast track some younger guys into leadership roles. There's a group that work closely with us, six guys who will transition hopefully over maybe the next 2, 3, 4 years into leaders of our footy club, teach them the right way, learn, develop their leadership skills, really work out the best way that they're going to lead, because everyone's different. Everyone brings a different skill to the leadership group and to the footy club. And that's our job now, is still lead as a four-man leadership group, but really fast-track the guys underneath us to hopefully come in, transition into the footy club, into the leadership group, and then take over the leadership group when the older guys like myself move on.
A player like Jared Pollock, so you've been this player in a way, although I guess the big money side of it might be the difference to the way you came in, is how has he come into the club? What sort of pressure would he be feeling? How have you sort of alleviated that and make sure that he just understands that he's part of it?
Yeah, I'm sure he'd probably feel a little bit of pressure when games come around, but from everything we've seen so far, he's acquitted himself fantastically well. He's fitted in. He wants to learn. The great thing for us, he brings something that we really do need, and that's why we're so targeted from the footy club. To go get a wingman of his experience who's played a lot of senior footy for a long time at a high level, the run and carry, the kicking ability inside 50, and also his knowledge of the game has been something that stood out early on. He sees the game really well, so the conversations, hopefully to ease the tension and nerves for him, is that he's already got a really strong input in the way that we should go about it. His role, he knows clearly for the side. So when you stay on top of those things, I think that helps alleviate those nerves that you talk of.
Would have been impossible for it not to have been an emotional off-season with Majak Dore. What was the boost like to see him at the club this week?
Oh, it's been amazing to see that smile around the footy club again, and it really does show how much Madge was loved by especially all the boys at the footy club, but the wider footy community. And he's transitioned back in really well. He's been around the club for a few weeks now, and we're supporting him in his rehab and making sure he's in a really good place, that he enjoys coming to the club, and he's on his track to getting back out there.
Was it a tough period for everybody in December?
Yeah, no doubt. Something like that really does hit a tight-knit footy club pretty hard. But the thankful thing, and I've said this before, but, you know, Majak's still here with us. He knows how much support that he's got, not just from us, but also the footy world, families and friends. Everyone really got around him, and we're just so happy and thankful that he's back out there. He's loving it. Exactly what he said. He's so excited to get back into it, and we're going to support him to do that.
Sean, on the broader perspective, the AFL is going to attempt the crackdown on punching with a free kick for any motion that involves a fist to an opponent. Do you think that is a practical and positive step?
Well, I think it is, because at times it was a little bit unclear last year, and there was times that it wanted to be stamped down, and then there was other times that probably it led to incidents that we don't really want to see, and also fines and that sort of thing. And look, I was part of that last year and the year before, but players can adapt really quickly. And I know a couple of weeks ago the umpires came out, did some match sim for us, and I was having a chat to them about that, and it really is going to be a crackdown on first man to show any sign of a clenched fist to the body will be a free kick, and if you retaliate, then it's a reversal straight away. So players don't want to be giving away free kicks. They definitely don't want to be missing matches. So hopefully as a playing group and a competition, we can adapt to that rule really quickly. And I know the coaches will want us to, because like I said, free kicks will be costly for the team, and also the look that filters down to lower levels of football.
I want to say it's unnatural, but yet it's become a reasonably natural part of the game. So you think it will be reasonably easily removed if the players just recognise this is what it is, and like any other infringement, this is what you can't do?
Yeah, we'll have some teething problems early on, no doubt. I mean, particularly with taggers and, you know, trying to get separation in close around the stoppage, and I think that's where most of it happens. Very rarely, I mean, we see the odd off-the-ball incident, but it's more in-play stuff, trying to get separation going for the ball. and that sort of thing. That may take a little bit of time, but like I said, but after one or two free kicks, guys are just going to have to know, and we're hopefully it's adjudicated consistently. It's not, there's no grey areas. It's black and white. We know exactly where, what line to cross and not to cross.
And the way footy might be played this season, Sean, do you have a vision in your mind of what it might be, or do you think there are a whole range of possibilities as teams look to play under altered rules?
Well, Jared, I think it's both, to be honest. I'm excited to see where these new rule changes will land in terms of teams adapting and moving the football. What I've seen so far and made comment a couple of weeks ago is I really do think from centre bounce that things will open up, and it's going to be very hard to, when a ruckman's on top, to nullify that with no protection coming off the back of the square. And if you do elect to have protection, potentially you might leave the opposition forwards free forward of the ball. Now, how we come up with that, and coaches and players will analyse that, particularly over the JLT, and try and get it right for round one. It's a little bit of the unknown, but my first initial thoughts is that, yeah, scoring, it should increase, given what I've seen at training so far. And I really do think the best players in the competition and the guys through the midfield that can break the lines and come out the front of the stoppage and run and carry, we're going to see more of their strengths. And I think it's only going to go to supporters and lovers of the game, like all of us, a greater spectacle to see the best players do what they do. And then the other ones, the kick-ins, which is a little bit of the same. And clearly, it's going to be easier to transition out of your back half, and how teams adapt to that is going to be really interesting. But that probably just opens to free-flowing footy as well, and the ground being lengthened a little bit more. So there is a little bit to play out. There's a few things, but I think all in all, it's going to be a really positive aspect for football.
Sean, thanks for your time.